Poems Every Child Should Know, edited by Mary E. Burt. Section 49, read for LibriVox.org by Kara Schallenberg. This section contains two poems, The Nautilus and the Ammonite, and The Solitude of Alexander Selkirk. Part 4 continued. The Nautilus and the Ammonite. The Nautilus and the Ammonite finds a place here out of respect to a 12-year-old girl who recited it at one of our poetry hours years ago. It made a profound impression on the 50 pupils assembled. I never read it without feeling that it stands the test. The Nautilus and the Ammonite were launched in friendly strife, each sent to float in its tiny boat on the wide, wide sea of life. For each could swim on the ocean's brim, and, when wearied, its sail could furl, and sink to sleep in the great sea deep, in its palace all of pearl. And theirs was a bliss more fair than this, which we taste in our colder clime, for they were rife in a tropic life, a brighter and better clime. They swam mid isles whose summer smiles were dimmed by no alloy, whose groves were palm, whose air was balm, and life one only joy. They sailed all day through creek and bay, and traversed the ocean deep, and at night they sank on a coral bank, in its fairy bowers to sleep. And the monsters vast of ages past they beheld in their ocean caves, they saw them ride in their power and pride, and sink in their deep-sea graves. And hand in hand, from strand to strand, they sailed in mirth and glee, these fairy shells, with their crystal cells, twin sisters of the sea. And they came at last to a sea long past, but as they reached its shore, the Almighty's breath spoke out in death, and the Ammonite was no more. So the Nautilus now, in its shelly prow, as over the deep it strays, still seems to seek, in bay and creek, its companion of other days. And alike do we, on life's stormy sea, as we roam from shore to shore, thus tempest-tossed, seek the loved, the lost, and find them on earth no more. Yet the hope how sweet again to meet, as we look to a distant strand, where heart meets heart, and no more they part who meet in that better land. Anonymous. The Solitude of Alexander Selkirk. I am monarch of all I survey, my right there is none to dispute. From the centre all round to the sea, I am lord of the fowl and the brute. O solitude, where are the charms that sages have seen in thy face? Better dwell in the midst of alarms than reign in this horrible place. I am out of humanity's reach, I must finish my journey alone. Never hear the sweet music of speech, I start at the sound of my own. The beasts that roam over the plain, my form with indifference see, they are so unacquainted with man, their tameness is shocking to me. Society, friendship, and love, divinely bestowed upon man, oh, had I the wings of a dove, how soon would I taste you again! My sorrows I then might assuage in the ways of religion and truth, might learn from the wisdom of age, and be cheered by the sallies of youth. Ye winds that have made me your sport, convey to this desolate shore some cordial, endearing report of a land I shall visit no more. My friends, do they now and then send a wish or a thought after me? Oh, tell me I yet have a friend, though a friend I am never to see. How fleet is a glance of the mind, compared with the speed of its flight! The tempest itself lags behind, and the swift-winged arrows of light. When I think of my own native land, in a moment I seem to be there, but alas, recollection at hand soon hurries me back to despair. But the sea-fowl is gone to her nest, the beast is laid down in his lair, even here is a season of rest, and I to my cabin repair. There's mercy in every place, and mercy, encouraging thought, gives even affliction a grace, and reconciles man to his lot. William Cowper. End of section 49. Read by Kara Schallenberg on November 2nd, 2006, in Oceanside, California.